Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
Unredeemed human nature has not improved over the centuries. Even within the body of Christ, that unredeemed nature appears and causes dissensions, sometimes even division. It was so in the early days of the church. The Apostle Paul wrestled with it in his day. From his day to this, some in the so-called cause for purity have stirred up the church. In Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, I detect that a contentious spirit had arisen in the church, so much so that he felt compelled to attempt correction by some clear-cut admonition. His comments are found in 1 Corinthians 4:10-15. Open your Bible to 1 Corinthians 4 and follow as I read verses 10 through 15. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. Even unto this present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and are naked and are buffeted, and have no certain dwelling place, and labor working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we suffer it. Being defamed, we entreat. We are made as the filth of the world, and are the offscouring of all things unto this day. I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons I warn you. For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. I urge you, stay right here with me as I lead you through the several levels of Paul's well-crafted admonitions. The first level is his contradictory comparisons. He uses the word we. He referred to himself and Apollos and Peter before. So I believe that the we includes them. They are the leaders in the congregation. He used biting irony. All knew the apostles were not fools, yet he said, we are fools for Christ's sake. The word fool is very graphic. The Bible meaning is, without learning, empty-headed, stupid. The Apostle Paul said, we are stupid for Christ's sake. You are wise. You have it all together. You know what the answers are before the questions are asked. Then he goes on to say, we are weak. We have no backbone. We yield when the opposition comes. We are unable to stand, but you are strong. The word strong used here means men of great influence, rank, and authority. You are honorable. That means highly esteemed. Whenever you come into the room, everyone gets quiet. We are despised, without honor. Base. Now look at my text. He says, you are wise, strong, honorable. We are stupid, weak, despised. The Apostle Paul was having some difficulty with the church at Corinth. His first level of discussion had to do with their contradictory comparisons. I want you to listen now to Barnes's notes on 1 Corinthians. I quote him. The whole design of this irony is to show the folly of their boasted wisdom, that they only should be wise and prudent, and the apostles fools, was in the highest degree absurd. And this absurdity the apostle puts in a strong light by his irony. We are weak. We are timid and feeble. But you are daring, bold, and fearless. This is irony. The very reverse was probably true. Paul was bold, daring, fearless in declaring the truth, whatever opposition it might encounter. And probably many of them were timid and time-serving and endeavoring to avoid persecution. End of quote. So then, The first level is the lowest. It is contradictory comparisons. The second level is the contrary conditions. First, the apostle takes up the physical. He says, "We are hungry and thirsty and naked." Hunger, thirst, and nakedness are needs of the body. His term naked suggests that his clothing was in tatters. He had no adequate wardrobe. He did the best he could, but it was in no way adequate. He says, "We're buffeted." That means to strike with the fist or the open hand. You know, that's what the soldiers did to Jesus before his crucifixion. They buffeted him. They struck him with the open hand, in that culture, the highest insult. Then he says, he had no fixed residence. He had no certain dwelling place. Again, that is like Jesus. Jesus said, "The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head." No fixed residence. So the Apostle Paul speaks about the contrary conditions of his physical condition. Then there is the work condition. He said he labors, working with his own hands. He was a tent maker. He could take his trade with him. It was not a lofty trade. I understand from what I read that it was a rather disdainful, distressful work. He worked with camel's hair or goat's hair that had been spun to make tents with. It was an occupation, though, and a necessary one. So this was his work condition. He labored with his own hands. He was what we call a tent-making missionary. Then there was a community condition. He said, "Being reviled, we bless." Reviled means to heap verbal abuse upon. But he said, "We bless." That reminds me of the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus gave in Matthew, the 5th chapter, and verses 11 and 12 and 44. I want you to hear this. Listen very carefully. I'm reading Matthew 5, 11 and 12, and verse 44. "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." Now verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Does it not appear to you that the Apostle Paul was following very well the teachings of Jesus? And then he said, "We are persecuted, and we suffer." Again, I am reminded of the words of the Hebrew letter, chapter 11 and verse 37, I quote, "They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, persecuted, reviled." Then Paul said, "defamed." Defamed means to speak ill about, to say all kinds of mean words. He said, "being defamed, we entreat." I was especially interested in that word entreat, because in modern Greek, this is what they use when they want to say please. Parakalo, which means please. Or it is used in the New Testament for the word prayer or pray, to beseech, to entreat. And finally, in this level of his argument, he speaks about how they are made as the filth of the world and the offscouring of all things unto this day. Filth of the world, the unwanted, the offscouring, that which is thrown away. Was Paul in a state of depression? It surely sounds like it, doesn't it? He aimed to correct their ill concept of themselves and their leaders. So then, friend, the second level of Paul's argument is contrary conditions. We're on the ascending scale. The third level is the congenial confirmation. Immediately we sense a change in tone because the apostle says, "I write not these things to shame you, but as my beloved sons, I warn you." In reality, it is, "I'm not aiming to put you down. I don't want you to feel bad. But I want to admonish you. I want to warn you. That word warn can well be translated admonish, which means to correct you. I want to correct your train of thought. I want you to understand better how it is and what to do. Another said, I quote, "No man, no minister, ought to rebuke another merely to overwhelm him with shame. But the object should always be to make a brother better. And the admonition should be so administered so as to have this end in a kind and tender and affectionate manner." Yes, I say amen, that's right. Rebuke can be more easily taken when it is administered with this tone. Then the apostle goes on to say, "You may have 10,000 instructors, but know this, you have only one father, not many fathers." Paul claims his right as their spiritual father. Well, you remember, after he had spoken to the elite on Mars Hill, he came to Corinth. Now, Corinth was not the kind of town that Athens was. Athens was an elite town. Athens was the town of the philosophers. Corinth was not. He came, and he established the church there. So he claimed rightfully, "I am your father, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." His fatherhood was in Christ Jesus. What a marvelous man this Apostle Paul was. He helps us greatly to understand where we are. So then the third level of Paul's argument is the congenial confirmation. It is highly essential that members of the church respect their leaders, especially those who walk in truth and teach the truth. Let me review those levels of Paul's comments as to how to achieve that respect. Level one is the contradictory comparisons. Avoid them. Level two is the contrary conditions. Evade them. Level three is the congenial confirmations. Accept them. Now, let us pray. Almighty God, be gracious unto us. O Lord, I may be speaking to someone who is passing through great turmoil right now within the body of Christ. I pray that this message might help that person, man or woman, wherever. Dear Lord, I thank thee that there is a way when we come in fear of God to solve these difficulties. And Father, I want to pray for my friend that there might be a real sense of respect for the man of God who stands for truth. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That was a very practical message, my friend. You know, there are many in the church today who want to be a law unto themselves. That is, they don't want anyone to give them instruction. They want to go their own way. We must understand the scriptural command Dr. Yoder spoke about just a few moments ago. God has set up leaders in the church, and we are called to honor and respect them. Now, my friend, if you have a question or a comment on today's teaching, or if you have a prayer request, we'd like to hear from you. So write to us today. Here's our mailing address. It's Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or go to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us your comments by the email link provided there. Once again, the mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And the web address is www.heraldsofhope.org. Now you'll be sure to join us next week. We'll continue our Bible study with a message titled Proper Discipline. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.